Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have a great program for you today. Have you ever had recurring nightmares, upsetting dreams, or dreams that you just didn't understand? Well, in sleep studies, 85% of adults report having at least one nightmare in the past year, and 29% report at least one a month. My guest today is Dr. Claire Johnson. She has been researching and writing about lucid dreaming for over 25 years. She is the director of the board and past president of the International Association for the Study of Dreams. She is the author of 7 books, including her new book called The Art of Transforming Nightmares, a radical and practical book to help people find the healing gifts in upsetting dreams and experience peaceful sleep and well-being. For more information about Dr. Claire Johnson or her new book, please go to deeplucidreaming.com. So welcome to the program, Claire. Great to have you with us today.
Hi, Terry. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm really excited to talk to you.
Oh, and I am so excited to talk with you as well, Claire, and about your new book. And I want to tell listeners that you're joining us from Germany. So absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now, tell us a little then, Claire, how did you become interested in dreams and nightmares? And I know you've been doing this work for over 25 years.
Yes. Well, I mean, the work in a sense started way beyond that, way before that, when I was 3 years old and I had a dream that I was drowning. So it turned into a nightmare. I couldn't get to the surface of the swimming pool and I panicked. And then I realized I had 2 choices. One, I could stay in that dream and drown, or I could wake myself up. So that was this flash of lucid awareness, aged just 3 years old. And I decided to wake up. So I rolled out of bed really hard, fell on the floor with a bump. And my mother came running up to see what was going on. And I told her about this dream. And then she said, "Oh, but Claire, that was just a dream, not real. So you can go back to sleep now," which was very strange to hear, because that dream was so real. You know, it seemed much more real than being in my bedroom with my mother. And so that for me was the start of this whole journey, because right through my childhood, I had really a lot of vivid dreams, also nightmares, nightmares where I couldn't move, even nightmares where I knew that I was dreaming, but felt I couldn't change anything. And also out of body experiences, sleepwalking, you name it, I had it. So as I was growing up, I just had to learn to cope with these states of consciousness and to explore them. And I worked out how to play with them in the end and how to turn them into wonderful lucid dreams.
So that now, as you were saying the story, though, Claire, I became fearful, right? Mm. What did you experience as a child and then onward? You know, was it fear? Was it anxiety? Or did you quickly learn to make meaning and grow from these experiences?
Well, mixed in with the fearful experiences of nightmares and not being able to wake up and so on, were these amazing experiences where I would fly out over the house and I knew that I was doing some special kind of dreaming. I didn't know the word for it. And I would be outside in the starry sky and I would explore, and I felt so amazing in this dream body, being able to fly and float. Wow. So I would have wonderful experiences as well. So It was just a question of learning to handle the fear and also handle the fact that none of the adults in my life, in fact, nobody in my life understood what I was talking about. Right. So nobody could give me any tips, which has thankfully changed for quite a few people these days, because we're much more aware about dreams and nightmares and how lucid dreaming can help us to heal or release fear. But in those days, you know, or at least how I grew up, there was nobody to help me out with these experiences. So it became a question, yes, of overcoming my fears and being brave. And I think even though it was hard, it was kind of a baptism of fire. At the same time, it helped me because I had so many resources. I learned it all for myself as I went along. And that's why now I'm able to understand and help other people, because I've been there. You know, I've been there myself.
Well, thank you for sharing all of that, Claire. That's wonderful. And is that the inspiration, your own experiences, for writing the book, The Art of Transforming Nightmares?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly based on that, but it's also based on the fact that, to recap briefly, I studied dreams at university and I became the first person in the world to do a PhD on lucid dreaming for creativity. But I quickly moved from focusing purely on creativity into focusing on healing, because I developed some techniques during my PhD, like lucid writing, that would help people to unwrap their dreams and experience deep healing. Healing and transformation. And so once I started teaching this internationally, I started writing my lucid dreaming books. And as I became better known in the field, I began to get inundated with messages from people who were really scared because they were having nightmares, and they needed to ask me, you know, how do I cope with this? They would say, I'm scared to fall asleep. I'm having recurring nightmares all night. How do I deal with this? And so I realized, instead of writing back to everybody individually, I realized, hey, you know, I actually need to write another book and get everything in there, because I'm very practical as well in the way that I help people. So all of my books are packed with practices that people can use for themselves.
And I love that, by the way. I think that's so beneficial. And listeners, to really hear that, there's so much in your book, The Art of Transforming Nightmares, that are, you know, things that individuals, we can do ourselves. Now, before we get to that, though, Claire, and I would love some examples, let's step back just for a second and talk about the definition of a nightmare and how it's different from a bad dream, so listeners can really understand the meaning of these words.
Yes, that's a great question. So a nightmare is usually seen as a dream that is so upsetting or fearful or distressing that it wakes us up. However, in the book, in The Art of Transforming Nightmares, I went for a much broader definition, because I've been hearing for years from people who, for example, feel that they are stuck in their body and can't move, and they're experiencing scary visions. And this is sleep paralysis, which is actually a totally natural part of falling asleep. We all experience this paralysis of the muscles so that we don't physically enact our dreams. But it's very scary if you feel that you're trapped and can't wake up. So I expanded my definition of nightmares to include scary sleep paralysis, also frightening out-of-body experiences where we feel we are shooting out of our body. Some people think that they're going to die. They think they won't get back to their physical body. So I address all of those fears. There are also lucid nightmares, which I mentioned briefly earlier that I'd had myself, which is when you're in a nightmare and you know it's a nightmare. You know you're asleep in bed, but you can't seem to change things or move things or wake yourself up. You have a sort of panicked sensation. So that all needed to be addressed as well. And there's also another space called the void, which is like a black space, an infinite blackness that people often find themselves floating in. I think of it as the gap between dreams. It's perfectly natural. But some people panic in that state because they go, oh my goodness, I'm all on my own in this huge black space. So the book also gives you tips and advice on how to relax in that state. In fact, the black void is a extremely meditative place when you just relax and release your fears. So I discuss all of those different fearful types of sleep-related experiences, as well as any dreams that leave us feeling troubled, anxious, or depressed. So I just try to pack it all in to that.
That's great. I love it. So it's useful and beneficial for so many different kinds of people. And what causes these fearful sleep experiences? I like that phrase, Claire. Yeah. Where do they come from and what do they mean?
Well, it's a multi-layered answer, really. If we look at the level of brain chemistry, so we see what happens in the brain, we know that fight or flight reactions occur in an ancient part of the brain, the amygdala. It's known as the emotional accelerator. And when we're asleep, it's far less regulated, you know, it's far freer in our dreams. So we're much more likely to get into an extreme state of fear or anguish or guilt or horror. And so that's one part of it. Also, of course, nightmares come much more often when we are stressed in our waking life or when we have unresolved traumatic experiences, you know, that because these leave a memory of fear embedded in the brain. And then this material, this raw material, is magnified into scary imagery. But, you know, nightmares can actually come, they have a healing function. They allow us to release emotions that are too strong. They enable us to process experiences that we haven't consciously processed. We haven't paid attention to them enough in our waking life. So the unconscious does that. The dreams do this. And I often think it's useful to think of nightmares as kind of volcanoes. You know, if you've got too much going on underneath the surface, it has to come out at some point. There's this volcanic eruption, and that is the terrifying nightmare. But the nightmare comes to flag up that there is an issue. It's saying, hey, there's something here that you need to deal with, because our dreaming mind wants to help and heal us.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying, in a way, Claire, that if a listener is having a nightmare or fearful sleep experience, once they do wake up, they should really say to themselves, what's going on? Something must be going on. And almost the fear isn't affecting me physically. It's come out. It's erupted into my dreams. So maybe I should sit down and explore this fearful sleep experience. Is that what you're suggesting? Suggesting?
Absolutely. And a great deal of my work is to do with this, I call it lucid dream play, because we are lucid, we are aware and working consciously with this unconscious material. We're playing with it, working and playing to understand what that dream was really saying to us, you know, because the dreaming mind speaks to us in this incredible symbolic language. It's also really important to understand the thought-responsive nature of every kind of dream. So basically, that means if we begin to get scared in a dream, our fear level rises and the dream responds. It's like a kind of internal telepathy. So, for example, if we're walking down a dark street in a dream and we see something, a shadow to our left, and we go, oh, that shadow might be a man hiding. And we look more closely. Of course, it is then a man hiding. And we think, oh, no, but I'm on my own. What if he has a knife? And then we see the glint of the knife. And then we think, what if he attacks me? And lo and behold, he jumps out and attacks you, because we've kind of made that happen within the dream state. It's a thought responsive environment. So if we were in that dream and we saw the dark shadow and thought, oh, it might be a man, and see that it is a man, if we are lucidly aware, we can calm down and think, well, I wonder if that dream figure has a message for me. Maybe he has some sort of wisdom for me. Maybe this is a shadow aspect of my own personality that I can engage with for healing, you know? So we can change things around in the dream when we become lucid, or we can do that same healing work when we wake up and explore the dream.
I like that so much. Now, I've noticed that you said, you know, coping or dealing with these fearful sleep experiences or lucid dreaming. And you didn't say stop them, or you didn't say eliminate them. So is that on purpose? Do we want to just cope, or do we want to stop them?
We want to heal. We want to heal, Terry.
So where is that in the stop or the cope?
Right. So this is really good that you brought that up, because the number one question that I get from the desperate people who have written to me over the years is, how do I stop my nightmares?
Right.
Yeah, they want to stop them. Of course they do. And some people will do anything to do that. They'll take, various pharmaceuticals to kind of calm down their dreaming. They'll take, anything that they can get their hands on, but it doesn't resolve the underlying problem. It's only when we have the courage to work with a dream, with a therapist. If it's too hard to handle alone, then always see a therapist. But when we work to unwrap our dreams and discover their meaning, it's just astonishing how much they can help us. They can really highlight what's happening in our lives. I'll give you an example, because it always helps to have examples of these kinds of things. There was one woman who had been in abusive relationships all her life, first with her father and then with her subsequent boyfriends. And she, unsurprisingly, had relentless nightmares of being chased by a horrible man, and she would hide anywhere she could, but he would always find her in the end, and the nightmare would end at the moment when he found her. And she would be terrified, she'd wake up sweating. Sometimes these nightmares would happen 10 times a night. Wow. So you can imagine her state of mind. If you've been woken up in terror 10 times a night, you don't have a good day the next day. You're exhausted, you can't do anything. It takes you into this vicious cycle and leads you to become depressed and anxious. So she was having a very hard time. So we had it was a private session with this lady. And she did my lucid writing exercise, which is super easy and simple. All you do is you create a safe space, you relax, close your eyes, and then you bring that nightmare back into your mind, knowing that you're safe, knowing that you can stop the process at any time. And you just engage with it without feeling so much fear, because you know, you're just revisiting the nightmare. And you allow the imagery to move and change, or you can talk to the nightmare figure. You can get help, bring help into that situation, allies, strong figures, or you can work with love and light to dissolve any bad feeling in the nightmare. And so after that, you just take your pen and you write without stopping and just see what comes out onto the page. And the reason you don't stop the writing is to retain that connection between the conscious and the unconscious mind. It's like flow writing from the dream. And so she did this. It took all of about 7 minutes or so. And when she'd done it, she said she was amazed, because the nightmare story had changed. She said for the first time, as she re-entered that nightmare in her imagination, she was able to stop running, and she turned around and faced the horrible man, and she put her hands out as a stop, you know, a double stop sign, and said, "Hey, you have no right to chase me. You will not do that again." So she stood up for herself for the first time in her life, in her imagination, as she revisited this nightmare. And it was astonishing. We talked then about this more in the session, of course. But the thing is, when someone feels or has been in the role of a victim for so long and suffering for so long, part of them starts to believe that they kind of deserve it, or that's just what's going to happen to them, and they don't have anyone to defend them. So it was super powerful for her to actually realize, hey, I can be my own defender now. I'm going to stand up to this man. And her progress after that was incredible. The nightmares all but stopped. She had one or two in the following week that weren't as bad. And then she started having dreams where she was standing up for herself in the dream and saying, "Wow. No, I'm not going to buy into this anymore. Get away from me, you know."
Wow.
Yeah, it was really
wonderful.
Yeah, what
a powerful transformation. Yeah. And I love the idea of that lucid writing practice. And listeners really hear that because it did occur in a safe space and it really did transform not only her nightmares, but herself as well. Now, I know, Claire, you provide many of these practices and you share them in your book and really easy ways for people to understand. One of them that I really enjoyed was to create a soothing bedtime ritual. And I know listeners could probably benefit by this practice as well. Can you share some of this practice and some examples as well about how to do that and what a ritual or bedtime ritual might be?
Yes, of course. Absolutely. Yeah, this is beneficial for everybody, whether they've got nightmares or not. You're absolutely right.
That is true.
Yeah. So it's really wonderful to make your bedroom feel like a safe space, you know, where you can just totally relax. It's good to not have screens in your room, like not have your phone or not have your laptop or whatever, and just create a really warm, wonderful space. You might want to try having a warm bath with candles and music before you go to bed. And you could meditate as well. A lot of people find it doesn't have to be, you know, sitting up meditation. You can lie down to meditate if that feels more comfortable. Just lie there and just allow your thoughts just to dissolve and really take a moment to relax your body and appreciate your body, and let your mind fill up with light. Sometimes a beautiful meditation is to breathe in your favorite color and let it fill your whole body, and then breathe out any tensions, any fears, any anxieties, and just do that for a couple of minutes, and that can be your meditation. And then a really nice thing to do is visualize something beautiful that you would love to dream about. This goes back to the ancient practice of dream incubation. You visualize whatever it is you'd love to have right now. Maybe you're sitting on a mountaintop looking at an amazing view, or you're on the beach with your friends, whatever it is. And then really focus on that and smile to yourself as you fall asleep, saying to yourself, I will sleep and dream beautifully tonight. And that can be very healing, just to take that time for yourself at the end of the day, to relax. You deserve it. You know, we all deserve to have a lovely night's sleep. And I like to think of the night of sleep as a place of therapy. The body, the sleeping body, heals us on every level while we sleep. Dreams have that function as well. And we can just prepare ourselves a little bit for sleep in that really lovely, warm way. And it just does us good. It's self-love, you know, and we all need to take care of ourselves more than we do.
Right, so more than we do. Well, thank you for that practice. That is wonderful. It made me relaxed and calm, even as you were suggesting it, Claire. Now, I know you provide so many wonderful practices. You even identify a personal sleeper dreamer type quiz in the book. And I want to encourage listeners to get the book and look at that quiz. But we only have about 1 minute left, Claire. If there's one message that you want listeners to take away from today's program, what might that be?
Oh, thank you. Yes, I would say that you can begin really to empower yourself when you work and play with your dreams. If you invite your dreams into your life, they will teach you. They will give you so much wisdom. They can light your path through life. They can help you in every aspect of your life. And if there are nightmares, just remember, nightmares are just a way of your unconscious trying to grab your attention because it wants you to heal. So it's good to listen to them and unwrap them, find out that deeper meaning. It's fascinating. There is so much to learn from dreams and nightmares and every sleep experience we have. So I would encourage you to To find out more about a part of your life that you spend asleep.
Yes, and we do spend many hours, or hopefully many hours, doing or in sleep. What a wonderful message, because I think it's so empowering, and that listeners do have control, and to spend some time examining and learning from your sleep experiences. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Claire. What a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you so much, Terry. It was my pleasure too.
And again, listeners, if you're interested in Dr. Claire Johnson or her new book called The Art of Transforming Nightmares, please go to deeplucidreaming.com. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.